Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous Edition for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, June 8th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 160, the third paragraph that begins with the very practical approach, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Martha M., who will be reading the 12 steps, Terry S. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Brandy M., Dawn B., and KP. The share ID for Sunday, June 7th, the special edition, is 14,767, 14767. This morning's Monday, June 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, share ID is 14,770. 14770. Our newcomer greeter for today is Janice PM, and Dawn B will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Martha M. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. It's Martha M. from Connecticut, anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for your service, and thank you for letting me do service. Have a great day.
Thank you, Martha M. Terry S., would you please read the 12 traditions?
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Oregon. These are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous have no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Terry S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 160, the third paragraph that begins with the very practical approach. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And Brandy M., good morning. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater in Alberta, Canada. The very practical approach to his problem, the absence of intolerance of any kind, the informality, the genuine democracy, the uncanny understanding which these people had were irresistible. He and his wife would leave elated by the thought of what they could now do for some stricken acquaintance and his family. They knew they had a host of new friends. It seemed they had known these strangers always. They had seen miracles, and one was to come to them. They had visioned the great reality, their loving and all-powerful creator. There's a lot in this paragraph. The thing that sticks out to me the most is the very practical approach to his problem. So this tells me that, you know, this is something that I'm going to have to do. It's not about the theory of the Big Book or the directions of the theory of the directions in the Big Book. It's something that, you know, I'm going to have to put into practical application as I'm, you know, going through my days. So this gives me precise instructions, and you guys told me about precise instructions on how to recover. And today I just feel so grateful that, you know, I am able to look at things from a different light. And, you know, before I just thought that I was going to think my way out of this, and that I was, you know, going to call people and rely on people and to get out of this disease. And today I know that because you guys have showed me that that's actually not how this works. It's that, you know, I work through the steps, and then I live in 10, 11, and 12 every day to stay recovered, and I'm not relying on things human, I'm relying on a power greater than myself. Another part in this paragraph is just, you know, when I came to OA, I didn't come here on a winning streak, I came here on a losing streak, and, you know, I was 350 pounds, I was miserable and angry and so sad, and, you know, the people loved me and welcomed me and supported me, and there was no judgment, and to me that's huge, because in the outside world, I was so judged. And, you know, people would stare at me and make comments. And, you know, here I just felt like that acceptance and that common bond between us, because we have this disease, is, you know, something that it's like unheard of. Like, I didn't feel ever love and acceptance, and, you know, where I could talk about things like, you know, how I picked food out of my kids' plates constantly, and I wanted to eat all their food. And, you know, when I'd go to restaurants and watch people eat and, you know, think, what the heck, why aren't they having their whole plate? And, you know, I would want it. And, you know, if people would share food with me in a restaurant, I don't think they like to share food with me, because I would eat it all before they could really get any. And people got that here. And that's something that I've never experienced in my life. And so thank God for the practical program of action, and, you know, that I'm doing it one day at a time, and getting, you know, neutrality with food is pretty amazing. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Brandy M., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we're on page 160, the third paragraph, the very practical approach. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Irene B. Kathy K.
Kathy K.
Marley F. in Denver.
F. Who is that in Denver? Who is that in Denver?
Marley S.
Marley S.
Laura Lee. Laura.
Debbie F.
Roz. Okay, G. Wait a minute. Okay, wait. Hold on. Roz G. Did I hear a Marley S?
No, you heard Laura Lee S. in Denver.
Laura and Lee S.
And okay. Debbie F.
And Debbie F is in France?
Yes.
Okay. And that was Matt?
Yep.
Was that Matt? F as in Frank, Matt?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's stop there. Perfect. Thanks, guys. Okay, I have maybe not the perfect order, but it's the perfect order. So I have Irene B, Kathy K, Debbie F, Laura Lee S, Roz G, and Matt F. So go ahead, Irene B.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a very gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. What a privilege it is to have this meeting to come home to. So very grateful. I absolutely love this paragraph. I always say that. Yes, I do. Because this book is so full of wisdom. But I love the practical approach to his problems. I love that, the practical approach to his problems. The absence, here's what gets me. This is what jumped at me, that caused me to say, okay, today's the day I need to share. The absence of intolerance of any kind. I love that, because, I'm sure you guys are tired of hearing that I'm always the eternal victim. Poor me, poor me, poor me. And I have come to find out, all of a sudden, I woke up to the reality that I haven't always been the victim. Sometimes I do the victimizing by being judgmental and intolerant. I do that. I used to think of myself as a beautiful, wonderful, innocent, loving entity with not a bad wish in my soul or in my heart. You know, I was so good, and I had such wonderful, good intentions. It's like, yes, I had good intentions for everyone and everything, because it was so much easier to work and focus on everybody else instead of looking at me. But what does that have to do with intolerance? Because, of course, that meant that I ran the show, so people retaliated. And then when they retaliated, I was the victim. Poor me. I just had the best intention. I just want to help. I just want what's best. But here I am going around being intolerant and judgmental. And I didn't think I was that person. And recently, I came to the realization that I am that person. I am intolerant. I am judgmental. And I'm not saying I was. I'm saying I am. Because I have to face myself. And it's taking 3 years and 2 months of abstinence for me to be able to have the scales fall from my eyes to see that I am the intolerant one. I am judgmental. And thank God that you reveal that to me
so that
I can work on it. Yes, because until I knew this about myself, I couldn't ask God to help me work on it. So I will surrender that to God, and he will help me with that. And I have no doubt that he will come through for me the way he has with so many others. First, I have to surrender. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Irene B. Okay, Kathy K., you are up, followed by Debbie F.
Thank you, Kathleen O., for your service. This is Kathy K., recovered compulsive overeater in Boston, and I'm grateful to be here today and really grateful to hear this paragraph read. You know, it is a very practical program, so much so that I continue to learn and modify how I practice each of the 12 steps. I did my first step study out of the Big Book in 2005, and, you know, I got recovered, and I had several years of abstinence, and then my food got a little sloppy, and I realized that I was in danger of relapse, and so I started asking fellows what they do with the various steps. Maybe I was missing something. And what I've discovered is that as we grow and age and encounter new challenges in our lives, we may have to tweak how we do each of the steps or how we use each of the 9 tools that we have. And that continuous learning and updating has been so important to me. I realize I can always learn more if I just reach out to fellows and ask them how they work a particular step. It's amazing what I can learn in an outreach call. And I never want to come to believe that I've got it, and all I have to do is do today what I did yesterday. That is true, but I also have to be open, as the set-aside prayer suggests, to new ideas and new experiences. And I think that's implied in this paragraph, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Kathy K. Okay, Debbie F., it's your turn, followed by Laura Lee F.
Hi, this is Debbie F., recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic in California. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service and for the evidence shared and for being here. And yeah, this paragraph really jumped out at me as far as, you know, practical approach, absence of intolerance of any kind, informality, genuine democracy, uncanny understanding. And these are all things that I feel like I learned, like principles that I carry into my life to the best of my ability that I learned in the rooms of OA. You know, when I first came to the rooms 9 years ago, I was very intolerant. I was intolerant of myself. I could not tolerate my own, you know, disease, my disease anymore. And what I got in going to the rooms was no one commenting back, no one telling me what to do. You know, and I didn't really get it at first. And, you know, I was intolerant of the rooms. I didn't want to be there. But there was something that, and jumping to 161, I like where it said, vision the great reality. While I didn't see miracles, I heard the stories, and I didn't have a higher power for myself, and I didn't really know where that fit in the 12 steps. But there was something that was in the others sitting there, the fellows, that I could see, you know. So I maybe didn't envision my great reality or the great reality, but there was something in this, in the power of the rooms that felt different. And that power, you know, led me back. And I'm so grateful that, you know, through the process of working the 12 steps, over the years, I've been able to, you know, find and refine that great reality for myself. And to, like it says in the tradition, you know, practice these principles, and I get to look at myself always to go, where am I still intolerant? Where am I not having genuine democracy? You know, because I like this practical approach because I can take that and want to mess it up and muck it up and make it really complicated. And when I just come back to, you know, basic principles of keep it simple, this is like 12 steps. I don't have to make it more complicated than it already, you know, than it is, you know, it's simple, but not easy. How's that? And, you know, that it's, it really is a miracle. And I'm so grateful to have been led to Overeaters Anonymous for something that I, like I said, was so intolerant of. Who would have known? So thanks for all being here and have a great Monday.
Thank you, Debbie F. Laura Lee S., you are up, followed by Roz G.
Hi, my name is Laura Lee S. I'm a compulsive overeater in Denver. Thank you, everyone, for sharing and for your service. This paragraph really showed me kind of where I am right now. A miracle has occurred. I have not eaten compulsively in 12 weeks. But my disease is looking for reasons to leave OA. And when I heard that first sentence, the absence of intolerance, the genuine democracy, I thought that's not what I experienced. I came in and I thought, you guys are so self-righteous. You always think you're right. You just want things your way. And yet, you know, I was at the last house on the street. Like, I needed help and decided, well, okay, I'll try this. But just very, and still very sort of wary, like, this is a cult. You guys are going to get me sucked into thinking I'm always right and being self-righteous. And as I thought that, I realized, you know what? I always think I'm right. I'm already self-righteous. I'm already always want things my way. And here I am projecting that onto you guys. Like, I don't need help to do that. I don't need to join a cult to become like that. I'm already like that. And I can see it harming my relationships. And, you know, I'm on step 8. I'm becoming willing. And some things I'm just not willing yet. And my head has been like, maybe we could just, you know, leave OA and try to control our food again, because, you know, I don't want to take responsibility for my actions. So I feel like I'm right now not seeing things clearly, but at least I know that. So maybe I do have some clarity. Because the truth is, it has been a very practical approach. This has worked for me. And you guys have been wonderful and compassionate and understanding. And I'm insane. So I'm very, very grateful to be here and be abstinent. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura Lee. Yes. All righty, Roz G., it's your turn, followed by Matt F.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. My abstinent date is July the 10th of 2019, and I'm excited about it. So, democracy. The genuine democracy. When I saw that word popped out at me this morning, because, you know, what I believe in a democracy is we get to be heard. And my first 12-step meetings were in the Al-Anon program, and when I was a girl, young girl, things would upset me. I'm outside walking, so you'll hear traffic. My aunts would say to me, "You shouldn't feel that way. Oh, you shouldn't feel that way." Or if I expressed my feelings to my mother, she would say, you know, I would get in trouble for having feelings about something. You know, come here. And in the rooms, I was able to say something and not get reprimanded. I remember I heard a lot of cussing. And I was mad about something, and I said, "I'm effing mad." And I looked around at everybody, and this old timer in the meeting was kind of wearing sunglasses. He goes, "Oh, well." And we all laughed. And I get to say how I feel. Now, you know, I don't take advantage of that today. you know, I've learned how the, what the traditions are. I've learned that it's respectful to not crosstalk to people and to nod my head. And if I disagree, to talk to my sponsor about it. But man, it is so wonderful to be able to be heard and to speak about how I feel. And, you know, now as I mature in the steps in the program, I don't bring my mess to the meetings. I bring hope. But there is a place to bring mess, you know, to maybe to an outside group or to your sponsor or to the great reality, to God. He's got my higher power as the one who can fix that. And that's facing my demons in step six. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ross G. Okay, before we take you, Matt, just a reminder to everyone, we're on page 160, the third paragraph, the very practical approach, and I'll be taking some more names after Matt. So go ahead, please, Matt.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your service. This is Matt F. I am living recovered in Chicago. And what struck me about this paragraph is the very specific personal nature of what's described, the very practical approach to his problem. He and his wife would leave elated. They knew they had a host of new friends. This paragraph is not even weak. It's very specific. And it struck me that the difference between this and the steps is that all of what's described are sort of inducements, they're benefits, they're lovely things that if they happen for you, that's great. But not on the steps. The steps are not optional. This kind of fellowship that's described may or may not be. And what came to me was that this program at its core is the steps and traditions. The book is sort of a brilliant piece of marketing material. It helps people identify with the disease, recognize their problems, admit them, and understand that there is a solution that may work for them. It may work for them. Because if you're the kind of person who just wants to be told exactly what to do all the time, then democracy is not really going to appeal to you. If you're the kind of person who can't deal with informality, you just want like buttoned up, straight up all the time, then what's described here may not work for you. And that's totally okay. This is optional. Anyone who doesn't feel this, that's totally okay. What's not optional is the steps. What's not optional is the footwork. And I think it's important for newcomers especially to understand that not everything described in the book will be true for you. What is described in the book with regards to the promises have been true for me, but not all at once. I didn't wait until all the promises were true to consider myself recovered. Working the steps is the requirement. That's not optional. That's the gut level course. That's the 101. What's described here is like the 301 level course. But the steps themselves, everyone's got to take those in order, as written, as described. And that's why it helps to work with a sponsor who's done it already, because they know where the landmines are. They know where you're likely to fall off the path, because they've been there. It's also okay if one's, at least for me, my understanding of my disease, my recovery, even my abstinence has evolved over time. Just because it was different day one doesn't mean it was wrong. Doesn't mean I was wrong. With that, I passed.
Thank you, Matt F. Okay, we are on page 160, the third paragraph, the very practical approach. And if you have not shared in the last 3 days, because we'd like to get some other people who have not had the opportunity to share their experience too, I'm going to take some more names. So who would like to share on that paragraph?
Kathy Z.
Kathy, what's the first initial?
Kathy Z as in zebra.
Okay. Okay. Kathy Z.
Thank you.
Inga R.
Inga R.
Yes.
George E.
George E.
Jen R.
Jen R.
Sharon K.
Karen K. Anyone else? Okay, we'll go with this lineup. Kathy Z, Inga R, George E, Jen R, and Karen K. Go ahead, Kathy Z.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for being a part of this miracle today in this meeting. Thank you for your service. So when I came to OA Visions, I was hurting so bad and having such a difficult time coping with really difficult things going on in my life. And I finally realized that I'm intolerant of everything. I was intolerant of everything, including myself. And realizing that through the Big Book and through, I'm doing my fourth step now, but that intolerance was just killing me. And I've come to open myself up every day to the power of God in my life, and He's helping me with that intolerance. I'm still working on acceptance, but tolerance and acceptance are slightly different. I'm kind of in this beautiful honeymoon stage where I'm feeling blessed every day and thankful every day, but every day is a miracle, and it's a miracle for God to reveal to me how I've been intolerant of living, period, and that there's so much more out there for me to do in His will to bless my life and bless others. And I have a sign in my room, and it says, every day holds the possibility of a miracle. And every surrender holds the possibility of a miracle. Every meeting holds the possibility of a miracle. Every moment, every meeting with my sponsor holds the possibility of a miracle. Every devotion I read in the morning holds the possibility of a miracle. And every person I have in contact with every day holds the possibility of a miracle. And I'm learning to anticipate God's miracles in my life every day, and I feel so blessed by that. And I'm just so thankful for this journey in recovery from being a compulsive overeater. And I thank everyone for being here today. I wish you all a blessed week and anticipate miracles. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy Z. Okay, Inga R., it's your turn, followed by George E.
Hi, this is Inga R. from Germany. Thank you so much, everybody who makes this meeting possible. I was just, this text just spoke to me so much. And it says, they knew that they had a host of new friends. And, you know, I just still cannot believe that I found people in this program. People I don't know, I call them. They are in a completely different time zone overseas. And I talk to them about what's going on with me, what's going on in my life, about problems. And they're so willing to help me. There's always someone on the line. And I don't know, I have never experienced something like that. The understanding and the same with people call me, that I find, oh, they are like me. I understand them. And it's so, so helpful, this connection. I mean, in the beginning, I was struggling so much. I thought, oh, can I call people that I don't know? That's just impossible. And it's, you know, I really need this. I love it. And it's so great to be in this line, to hear your shares. It is, this program has made such a difference in my life. I just cannot believe it. I think I could have gone to, I don't know, years of therapy or whatsoever, and I wouldn't be where I am. So I'm just so grateful that I just cannot, sometimes I just cannot believe that it's true. So with that, I pass, and I thank everybody of you, and I wish you a wonderful day. Thank you.
And thank you, Inga R. Okay, Georgie, you are up next, followed by Jen R.
Hi, it's Georgie, recovering compulsive eater near Cincinnati, Ohio. Yeah, that paragraph is one of those ones I probably always glazed over. So I'm going to have to spend a lot of time reading it over and over again. You know, it's got some big words, you know, democracy and intolerance. And, you know, I think we all struggle with fellowship, you know. I mean, I know I'm jumping ahead, and that's one of my flaws maybe, but the next page it says something like the fellowship you crave, you know. So what it's really getting at is, the fellowship can replace the cravings, the hopelessness, the negative emotions. At least that's how it kind of works for me. You know, I believe in that just for today's stuff, you know, like, you know, all I've got's really today. You know, my abstinence is pretty precarious. And feeling pretty good today. Got a good night's sleep. But I'm looking for that calmness that comes with serenity. And, you know, life isn't always going to be grand. I mean, there's going to be challenges. And the biggest thing is I don't have to eat over it. I don't have to eat to change my feelings. You know, the way I've been saying to people lately, and I'm not even sure I believe it, but, you know, pain is mandatory, but it's suffering that's optional. I never knew I was a food addict. I never knew I had a disease. You know, even though I came from another program. You know, it took me a long time to get to the point where I was really even ready to do step one. You know, so I'm grateful to have a program today, and I'm grateful it's a beautiful day. I'm grateful that this call is here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Georgie. Okay, Jen R., you are up, followed by Karen K.
Hi, everybody. This is Jen R. In New Jersey, a recovered compulsive overeater. And I wanted to share today because today is 1 month of recovery for me. My abstinence is longer, but it was 1 month ago that I was able to surrender to the point that God took the urge to eat away from me. And I haven't had the urge to eat. I haven't wanted to compulsively overeat. And most importantly, the voices in my head got quiet. They're still there a little bit. And I have a lot of ego to work on, a lot of it. But the relief is just amazing. And it's taken me 13 years to get a month of feeling like I was recovered completely from God. I know it's completely from God. I didn't do anything. But a month ago, somebody on this line shared that they couldn't even surrender. They had to ask their higher power to surrender for them. And so I did that. And that's what worked for me, was asking God to take my surrender, since I couldn't seem to surrender enough. And that's what it took. and I'm just so grateful for the meeting and for all the wisdom that's being shared. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jen R. Okay, and we're going to take Karen K next, but we do have some time for some more people, so be ready, and I'll take a few names after Karen K. Go ahead, Karen, please.
So it's actually Sharon, not Karen.
Oh, Sharon. Sorry, Sharon.
No, it's okay. The very practical approach to his problems. This program is so practical and so simple, and I was so used to creating complicated answers to managing my life that I was, you know, I just didn't understand what people meant. When people meant let go and let God or surrender, it's like, yes, but what do I do? Like, how do I do that? It is very practical. But to me, that's where, you know, the uncanny understanding of people who've gone ahead of me can help to get me calm, you know, show me the way that it's not complicated at all, that it's just, and there's not really a right answer, and lead me to myself where I can get quiet with God and the answers are always there. And the answers are always simpler than anything that I can ask or imagine. Anyway, with that, I'll pass. Thank you. And thank you for everyone. And thank you for hosting. I can't imagine the job of trying to catch everyone's name.
Thanks, Sharon. Thanks, Sharon Kay. Okay, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we're on page 160, the third paragraph. I can take a couple more names. Who would like to share?
This is Karen K.
Audrey
Karen
MP.
K. And Audrey MP. Okay, let's start with you two. So go ahead, Karen K.
Hi. Because you said my name and initials earlier, I'm going, I wonder if God's calling me to share. but I'm sharing because I've been in the program for years, but I have been with a wonderful, and I've listened to visions for 2 years, and I've been with a wonderful vision sponsor for, maybe a month, 2 months. And I finally feel so different going through the big book. I did it once before in another program, and I just couldn't get this program going to meetings and everything else. And last year when listening to Vision, I just knew all the serenity that was in these women's, men's, people, their voices, their I just wanted it. And I feel it's here. I talk to God more. I give God my surrender, ask him to help me to surrender. And my ego is so big, it's pathetic, and I'm really working on that one. So I just want to thank everyone on this line and have a wonderful day. Take care.
Thank you, Karen K. Okay, Audrey MP, go ahead.
Hi, this is, good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service and for hosting. Yeah, I can't imagine when all the names start coming out at you, how that happens. Something I have to look forward to in my service. Thank you, everyone, for your shares. When I think of the practical approach to love and tolerance, you know, even though I'm on step 11, I'm starting step 11 with my vision sponsor. I'm so grateful to her and all the things that I've learned about myself. As you were reading that, I was running a bath. Honestly, okay, this doesn't need to be a fourth step or a confessional, but I have a neighbor downstairs, and with this shelter in place, our relationship of over 9 years has always been torrid. She doesn't like people living above her. And when my landlord's put in a wood floor, she likes me less. But she's mean. I mean, she's mean. And I have to pray for her. But since the shelter in place, she's bought some machine. It's supposed to be a white noise machine, and it sounds like a white truck noise machine, and it keeps me up. So I normally wouldn't take baths. She doesn't like the plumbing. She doesn't like me doing dishes. I can't run my little Nutribullet. And I really feel like I try to be considerate of her. But since this machine got put in, I take a bath whenever I want. And if the machine wakes me up, I take a bath. So that was funny this morning as we were reading this page, this paragraph. My bath was running at, 10 to 7. And, I can only pray for divine resources to see how this is going to work out, and if it is, and it's hard. This woman really tests my program. And then, there's breakfast. So I've managed to just have my little morning fruit and some tea, and I have a big day ahead, and I really need some of the ninth step promises to come true for me today. The intuitive part, intuitively handle situations that used to baffle us. So that's my prayer today. That's my abstinence. That's my recovery. This is me doing my work, and I'm really grateful to be part of the group, and I can't wait to get to read, or, one day I'll get to host. And I loved the little meeting before the meeting. It was so sweet. I've never been on that early. And with that, I pass. Thank you for my time.
Thank you, Audrey MP. Okay, we have time for one more share. Who would like to
Irene
take that
N.
opportunity? Irene N. Go ahead, please, Irene.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. This is Irene N. in New York. I'm a compulsive overeater. The line that jumps out at me is this last line, maybe the last two lines. They have seen miracles, and one has come to them. They had visioned the great reality, their loving and all-powerful creator. I was having a beautiful conversation with my sponsee this morning, who's starting to work step one, about the voice in our head prior to coming to program being so harsh and judgmental and shaming and controlling, and how in the process of doing these steps, we create a higher power that serves us and our lives and that we can depend on and have our backs fully. And this is a miracle in my life. The voice in my head is now much more gentle and kind. I can catch myself when it isn't. And I nurture that voice every day. But it is such a different way of being to feel that when things are feeling difficult or complicated. I love what everyone else has shared about the simplicity and simple not being easy, but simple being a better way forward. It gives me the ability and a launch pad to heal and to take a different action than I have in the past. And just wanted to say my appreciation for having had tremendous guidance in my sponsors and my fellows as I've gone through this program. The fellowship is incredible in and of itself, and I'm grateful for the outreach calls that I'm able to make and that I'm able to take, and with that I pass.
Thank you so much, Irene N. And thank you, Team Monday. A special thanks to all of you, Martha M., Terry S., Brandy M., Don B., KP, Janice PM, and Dawn B, and Mo in the background. Thank you for your service today, and thank you everyone who shared and did service. Great shares this morning. So we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Dawn B, would you please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. This is Dawn B, recovered in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.